Good morning, everybody. So my homily is just a little different today. Most of you will be very disappointed that I don't have my 3 points today. However, this is a story. And the story, I'm going to invite us to think about the implications of that story for us. I want to begin with Jesus. There was Jesus. He was born in time, lived, was killed, but rose from the dead. And then there are the Gospels. The Gospels tell us how he was born, how he lived, the cause of his death, and even they do not describe the actual resurrection, report that he was raised from the dead. So then there was Jesus, and there are the Gospels. From the time of Jesus' resurrection, a minimum of 40 years have passed since the first gospel was written. In other words, the community has had time to think about the Jesus event. Now, besides the primary message of all the four gospels being very similar, there is one other reality that is common to them. Persecution. Not only was Jesus persecuted, but the early Christians faced persecution. All the Gospels are written in the context of persecution. In fact, passages like the ones that we have in today's Gospel reading can only be understood in the context of persecution. Jesus says, "Do you think that I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Now we know that Jesus did not come to cause division, but the context of persecution helps us to understand that he became the cause of division, but did not come to cause division. Now today, without ignoring the theme of persecution, I want to ask you to keep what I just said at the back of your minds, because I'm going to take a detour. Without ignoring the theme of persecution, I'm going to emphasize a very different part of today's scripture readings. As I read them, I was drawn to an unlikely character in today's first reading from the book of Jeremiah, Ebed-Melech. Neither was he a persecutor, nor was he persecuted. Ebed-Melech stood between the persecutors and the persecuted and played a heroic role in saving Jeremiah. He drew my attention because the more I reflected upon him, the more I realized that he was like Jesus, standing in the middle as a peacemaker. Let me tell you the story of Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech makes only a brief appearance in the book of Jeremiah, and we do not know anything about him except that he was a Cushite, or from the land of Cush. He comes into the picture at a very critical time in the history of the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been destroyed by the time Ebed-Melech comes into the scene. The northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. Now, during Ebed-Melech's time, Zedekiah was the king, and the Babylonians had laid a siege over Jerusalem. It was a horrific siege. There was total chaos. Certainly after a little while, shortage of food, and they began to ration food. But even they ran out even of that. People were so desperate that they even resorted to cannibalism to survive. That's how horrific the siege was. Now Zedekiah was a weak and cowardly king. God had appointed Jeremiah as a prophet and instructed him to proclaim God's impending judgment upon Jerusalem. Jeremiah was faithful to his calling, but greatly opposed by the ruling class. Jeremiah tried to counsel Zedekiah. He gave him an option. He said, either you surrender to the Babylonians or face death by sword, famine, and pestilence. This is what God was instructing Jeremiah to tell Zedekiah. Unfortunately, Zedekiah was also advised by some nobles of Jerusalem who opposed Jeremiah. There were four of them in particular who are important to our story. Shephatiah, Gedaliah, Jukal, and Pashur. They saw Jeremiah as a threat and condemned his prophecies. The nobles advised Zedekiah contrary to what Jeremiah was telling them. But the nobles belittled Jeremiah and ridiculed him. Not only did they fail to recognize Jeremiah as a prophet, but they accused him of treason, of discouraging the soldiers, and not seeking the people's welfare. And they demanded death for Jeremiah. I said to you that Zedekiah was a weak king, so he succumbed to the nobles. He had the nobles put Jeremiah into a well that bottomed down into a mire, and there Jeremiah would eventually suffer starvation, exhaustion, suffocation, and slow death. When Ebed-Melech heard that the nobles had put Jeremiah into a well, he approached Zedekiah. You see where my story is going. You have the persecutor and the persecuted. Zedekiah comes into the picture, and probably at a routine meeting of the king with his subjects, Ebed-Melech gathered courage to bring Jeremiah's case before the king and inform him of the wicked plot of the nobles against the prophet. Ebed-Melech was very tactful. He asked Zedekiah, do you want the death of this prophet attributed to your reign? The king understood the implications of Ebed-Melech's words. He commanded Ebed-Melech to take his men and rescue Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech arrived with his men at the well where Jeremiah was nearing death, and they pulled him out into safety. Thanks to Ebed-Melech, the life of God's faithful prophet was saved. Now, whereas Zedekiah heard Ebed-Melech about Jeremiah, the nobles prevailed over Zedekiah about the siege. Jerusalem fell, and as Jeremiah prophesied, great destruction fell on the land. As usual, Zedekiah acted like a coward. He sneaked out of Jerusalem with his soldiers and his sons, but they were eventually captured. He was taken before Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king. And this is brutal. But Zedekiah watched the slaughter of his sons, and then his eyes were gouged out because Nebuchadnezzar wanted Zedekiah to remember the worst time of his life. Bound in fetters, he was taken into exile. Zedekiah's life ended pitiably. Ebed-Melech, on the other hand, showed himself to be a man of great character. He put his life at risk by standing in the gap and speaking up for an innocent man. He showed forethought and compassion. So we see Ebed-Melech as a man of courage, of honor, of wisdom, and integrity. Folks, as I said earlier, Ebed-Melech drew my attention as I read today's readings. Even though the scripture readings intend to create a parallel between Jeremiah and Jesus, that's the intention of today's scripture readings, right? Because Jesus is persecuted, Jeremiah was persecuted, and the Christians are persecuted. So the whole idea is to create a parallel between Jesus and Jeremiah, between Jeremiah and the persecuted followers of Jesus. But today, I want to create a parallel between Ebed-Melech and Jesus. Ebed-Melech and Jesus are people who stood in the gap. Ebed-Melech stood between Zedekiah and Jeremiah and saved innocent life. Jesus stood between heaven and earth and saved humanity. Ebed-Melech stood in the gap and became a peacemaker. Jesus stood between heaven and earth and reconciled us to the Father. Both Ebed-Melech and Jesus risked their lives, showed great courage, and became peacemakers. So when we hear Jesus say, "I did not come to create peace," that's persecution being talked about. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. So here's my only practical implication for us today. Folks, we will always find ourselves standing between two impossible situations. That happens all the time. We will find ourselves standing between two impossible situations, two feuding people, two opposing realities. And tell me this is true or not. It happens in families. You get caught between two sides. It happens at workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our politics, in the church. We will also find ourselves among people who are oppressed, persecuted, treated unjustly, suffering innocently. And we can play different roles when we encounter these situations. We can fuel the fire, make the situation worse, be uncaring about those who suffer, or manipulate the situation to our own advantage, or perhaps even be dishonest. These are all possibilities. Or, we can show great courage, be men and women of character, take the risk, stand in the gap as reconcilers and peacemakers. There is always a need for contemporary Ebed-Melechs. More than ever today, we need people who think like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus. Will you be one of them?